chronic plaque psoriasis, so much more than a skin disease.
Plaque psoriasis is an autoimmune, traditionally pretty difficult to manage condition with a whole range of comorbidities, and it's got a lifelong course that can significantly impact a patient's quality of life. Now, up till now, for patients with moderate to severe disease, management has been limited and treatments pretty difficult to adhere to. Additional options are now available for patients not being well managed by topicals alone. So today we're joined by Dr. Jason Wu. He's a Brisbane dermatologist and we're going to discuss chronic plaque psoriasis and its treatment. Welcome, Jason, and thanks for joining us. Now let's start at the beginning. Tell us about chronic plaque psoriasis and how patients might present to us in general practice.
So psoriasis is a chronic relapsing inflammatory skin disease with a strong genetic predisposition. It affects worldwide in the order of 2-3% of the world's population and with a similar prevalence in Australia. And listeners would probably be well familiar with the typical presentation of chronic plaque psoriasis with thick red scaly plaques, which are usually symmetrical on the left and right side. Typical sites, the knees, the elbows, scalp, and scattered patches on the trunk. But listeners may be less familiar with other presentations such as flexural psoriasis and genital psoriasis, which may lack the thick red scaly plaques that you see in the more traditional chronic plaque psoriasis.
Once the GP has seen a patient, they tend to have a lot of comorbid conditions. What kind of comorbidities are we seeing in patients who have psoriasis?
One of the most frequent is psoriatic arthritis, up to about a quarter of patients with severe chronic plaque psoriasis will eventually develop psoriatic arthritis. Most commonly, psoriatic arthritis is associated with the more severe forms of chronic plaque psoriasis, but not necessarily. You can have psoriatic arthritis with just mild skin psoriasis. There's null psoriasis, but the main comorbidities we're talking about would be the metabolic syndrome. So there's a high incidence of hypertension, obesity, hyperlipidemia, general cardiovascular risk factors. There are also a significantly increased risk of alcohol dependence and also depression and anxiety. In addition, Crohn's disease is increased. And in addition to the above metabolic syndrome, cardiovascular disease is also increased independent of those other cardiovascular risk factors, to the extent that someone with severe chronic plaque psoriasis probably has an increased risk of cardiovascular disease in the order of that of diabetes. So not a trivial increase.
That's fascinating. I had no idea about that link to cardiovascular disease. On top of that, I'm not surprised about the depression because it can be quite awful to look at. How does psoriasis impact on a patient's quality of life?
Often very significantly, particularly when you realise that the onset of this disease, the commonest onset is in the teens and 20s when patients are out socialising, playing sports, and when they have these visible diseases on the skin, which can be really quite stigmatising. Patients become withdrawn, withdraw from sport, withdraw from going out. They change the clothing that they wear. Often they become housebound and turn to alcohol and other things like that. The lesions themselves seem to invoke quite a feeling of dirtiness and a stigma of disease, which patients notice in the expressions of the general public. People may offer their hand and to shake hands, and if they've got psoriasis on their hands, notice other people withdraw from that. I've had patients who have been approached at public swimming pools and asked to leave the swimming pool because of their skin disease, and so not surprisingly, then they become withdrawn.
It's so awful to hear it really described like that. What treatments are available for those patients, and what tends to happen typically over the course of their treatment?
The range of treatments that we have, the topicals, which are certainly the appropriate first-line treatment for mild disease, which is the commonest form of psoriasis to have mild disease. But even in mild disease, the patients find them difficult to use and messy and sticky, get on their clothing, and patients don't like it. Even in the first few weeks of being offered topical treatments, compliance is frequently poor. And this gets harder and harder the more extensive the disease is. Next treatment that we often think of is phototherapy, which is probably the safest and can be quite effective for moderate and sometimes severe disease, but it is difficult to access. You need to live near a phototherapy unit and you need to attend 2-3 times per week. Methotrexate is probably the first go-to systemic agent, which is limited by potential side effects such as hepatotoxicity, and is less suitable in people who drink heavy amounts of alcohol or have diabetes or obesity, which is unfortunately a large proportion of psoriasis patients. Cyclosporin, a very effective treatment, but has a high incidence of hypertension and is also quite immunosuppressant and not really a good long-term treatment. And psoriasis, of course, is a long-term disease. We have acitretin, which has only modest efficacy and a lot of mucocutaneous side effects. So the biologics are generally considered to have excellent efficacy and a very favourable safety profile. However, they are given as subcutaneous injections, which a lot of patients object to, and some of them are quite immunosuppressant in particular pathways, which can have problems with certain infections. And then just recently, we've had the addition of apremilast to the PBS.
Yeah, you mentioned apremilast. As you said, it was recently listed on the 1st of January 2021. Where does that treatment fit in the treatment algorithm for these patients with chronic plaque psoriasis?
Apremilast is an oral treatment for the treatment of severe chronic plaque psoriasis. It is currently only for prescription by dermatologists in Australia. So apremilast is indicated for adult patients with moderate to severe chronic plaque psoriasis who are candidates for phototherapy or systemic therapy. On the PBS, it's a little bit more restricted and limited to those with severe chronic plaque psoriasis. The definition of that is up to the prescribing dermatologist who have failed or contraindicated to or intolerant of methotrexate. So this would be probably a second-line treatment option for most patients after methotrexate or after consideration of methotrexate.
Interesting. Can you talk about how effective apremilast is for that management of plaque psoriasis and is it well-tolerated? Because we know, as you said, so many of these medications really are not.
Generally, it's very well-tolerated. It has a favourable safety profile and it doesn't need any monitoring blood tests, which is distinct from the methotrexate, cyclosporin and acitretin. The main side effect is a moderately high incidence of GI intolerance with increased stool frequency seen in the order of 15%, which tends to be self-limiting and resolves within the first 4 weeks of therapy, typically. And only in about 2% is it sufficient that patients wish to cease the medication. Other than increased stool frequency and diarrhea, nausea is moderately common, and there seemed to be a small increased risk of depression in some of the pivotal clinical trials, but we're talking in the order of 1%, which is probably lower than what would be expected generally in the population anyway, but it did seem to be more common than placebo in those pivotal clinical trials. So certainly something that we warn patients about. As we discussed previously, though, depression is much more common in psoriasis patients, not surprisingly due to the stigmatizing nature of their condition. And if we can improve the appearance of the psoriasis, generally their mood does improve with that as well. In terms of efficacy, it is at least as effective as methotrexate, not as effective as the biologic therapies. But I certainly have had patients in whom biologic therapies have failed and apremilast has worked. So it's certainly not across the board, but a significant proportion of patients will reach the stage of being almost clear after about 16 weeks of therapy, which is when we tend to make the assessment of efficacy.
Jason, a lot of GPs who are listening to us at the moment have patients with psoriasis. They've often already been to a specialist. They've already had a number of treatments and nothing's done a lot for them. What would your advice be to those GPs who have these patients in their practice?
Yeah, this is a really interesting question, Ginny, because often when we run clinical trials for psoriasis and an advertisement might go out, we're finding people come in from the woodworks with very, very severe disease who've maybe never seen any doctor for 30 years, or they saw someone, they were referred to a dermatologist 15 years ago and told that all that was available was a cream for them and they've got despondent and disappeared. Or maybe they only had more limited disease 15 years ago and were given a cream and the disease had gradually deteriorated with time and they have not re-engaged with their doctor or gone back to the dermatologist. Or perhaps they were referred to a dermatologist who had more of an interest in skin cancer rather than inflammatory diseases. So it is important for the patients and the GPs to be aware that some new treatments have come along, that not necessarily all dermatologists have an interest in inflammatory skin diseases, so it's good to know your local referrals to those doctors who do have an interest. And just be aware that some of these new products are available, and in particular with apremilast, the barriers to entry in terms of the PBS are not the same barriers that we need to access the biologics.
It's a great point. It's been a really interesting discussion. I'm just wondering if you can summarise what we've talked about for the GPs who are listening to us today.
Sure. Chronic plaque psoriasis, a very common condition, which the impression in many in the wider community is this is just a skin disease. But I think, as I've outlined, this is much more than a skin disease. And the more severe it is, the more it is associated with other comorbidities. It has a lot of psychological comorbidities, in particular, high incidence of depression. And we have a range of treatments available according to the severity, ranging from topical therapies, phototherapy, systemic therapies, and biologic therapies. And the new medication that we've very happy to have access to, apremilast, is an excellent option for us to consider. It is available on prescription from dermatologists only at this stage. So if general practitioners have patients who might be appropriate for this medication, please consider referring your patients to a dermatologist for consideration.
Dr. Jason Wu, thanks so much for joining us on Drive Time Medical.
Thank you so much, Jenny.
Otezla, apremilast, is listed on the PBS for the treatment of severe chronic plaque psoriasis that significantly impacts quality of life in adults who have failed treatment with or who are contraindicated or intolerant to methotrexate. Refer to PBS schedule for full information. This product is not listed on the PBS for the treatment of psoriatic arthritis. Please review the product information before prescribing. The product information and substantiating references can be obtained from the Drive Time Radio website. This interview was proudly organised by Amgen, produced April 2021.